Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hello, friends. Today, we are joined by my friend, Bryn Hunt-Palmer of The Birth Hour. And I love this woman so much. I am so excited to have her on the show. Welcome, Bryn.
Thank you for having me. It's always so fun to get to talk with you. I feel like we could just talk all day via text message, and it's nice to actually hear your voice.
I know. If you guys aren't already familiar with this voice you are hearing right now, Bryn, she is the powerhouse woman behind an incredibly popular millions of downloads podcast, The Birth Hour, where she shares all different types of birth stories and happens to have my favorite podcast interview I have ever given on her show, where I shared my own birth story, and I still like to listen to it, and it makes me cry. So thank you. It's an incredible honor to be on your show. So I want to hear all about how you got started, but I asked you to come on because I wanted to talk about the importance of birth stories and sharing our birth stories and why birth stories matter. And so you had to be the go-to for talking about birth stories. So why don't you introduce yourself, Bryn, to the listeners?
Yeah. So like Jen said, I host the Birth Hour podcast. We have over 400 birth stories recorded and they come out twice a week. Yeah. Lots and lots of birth stories. If that's your thing, you will find it all. It started in 2015 and it really just was born out of my love of reading birth stories when I was pregnant with my first. It was, you know, kind of the heyday of blogging and a lot of bloggers would post their birth story on their website. And I just remember wanting to read every single one I could, because when you're expecting your first baby, especially, you really have no idea what is going to happen in childbirth. And for me, it was all I could think about. I was just like obsessing over it. And I was having a home birth, so I wanted to read all the home birth stories because I didn't know anyone really in my real life that had had a home birth.
But you wanted to read these stories, but you started a podcast. So what made you start a podcast?
So that just was kind of one of those like aha moments. And I get this question all the time and I can't quite pinpoint it, but I fell in love with podcasts listening to Serial, which is the gateway podcast for a lot of people. My husband had been listening to podcasts for quite a while, like Planet Money and things like that, that I found kind of nerdy and annoying in the car. I was like, I just wanted to jam to some music. What are we listening to? But then he got me hooked on Serial. I was like, okay, I get it. This is a genius way to get information out. And I quickly became hooked. And my husband and I talked a lot about starting a podcast together. And we couldn't really come up with anything. And one day I just had this idea for birth stories. And after giving birth to my first two kids, I was just a total birth junkie. I think a lot of women find themselves in this position, at least a lot of people I talk to, where they have a baby and then maybe they stay home for a little while and they just have such a strong draw towards birth work of some sort. And so I thought about, you know, doula and midwife, and I even did birth photography for a little while, but it was so hard to plan around, you know, being on call, and that lifestyle just didn't seem right for me with two little babies at home. And so when this idea popped into my head of a birth story podcast, I was like, ooh, this would be a way for me to, you know, be in the birth world without actually having to physically be anywhere. So I just put a call out in a Facebook group I was in. I think it was like home birth and water birth group or something like that, to see if anyone would want to share their birth stories. And I'm sure most of them didn't know what a podcast was at that point. I don't think I even had a logo or a title or anything. I just read somewhere like, you should try to record one before you actually put in all the work and just see if you even like it. So that's what I did. And the first episode I recorded, I still remember I was sitting up in our bedroom and my husband took the kids somewhere so it would be quiet. And it was a VBAC story and I was crying by the end. And I just remember hitting end on the Skype call and being like, yes, I am hooked. I want to do this all the time. So that's how that got started.
I love it so, so much. And okay, how many, I know you don't know exact number probably, but how many downloads are you at now?
We're almost to 10 million right now.
Oh my gosh. Which is so crazy. Mind blowing. And I love that you and Richard, your husband, do it together because Chris and I do ours together. I have to ask though, like, is Richard like, you know, in the beginning, I guess I asked because Chris is like, such a champion of like, let's do this podcast. And now he's like editing stories on like getting waxed when you're plus size and all these birth stories. And he's like, I've heard so much birth. How's Richard holding in all these years later?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has heard it all. And I actually started, you know, editing them myself. And I was just like, it was miserable. It was taking me forever. I had like carpal tunnel in my hands. And he was like, let me do that for you. He had used GarageBand for music stuff before. And he just really got into it and you know, making the sound good and all that. But yeah, he's heard all the different topics because there's no TMI on the birth hour either. But he's pretty infallible. He said that growing up, he liked watching the surgery channel when he was a kid. So like when I was pregnant, he was like, oh no, I'm good. I liked watching surgeries when I was a kid.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I had to ask because it's so funny. Chris will be like, what are we editing this week? I'm like, another birth story. Or whatever it is. But it's wonderful when you have a partner to do it. And I don't think people realize all that goes in to podcasting. And I'm so thankful that you've been there for me over almost 2 years of me having my own show. But how many hours would you say you pour into just doing one birth story episode?
I would say probably 4 to 6.
Yeah. It's a lot.
And I'm interviewing, I don't know how it is for you, but most of the people I'm interviewing have never been interviewed before. And so they're often nervous and have a lot of speech tics and things like that. And we try to make everything sound really seamless and want them to hear it and be proud of it. And so we spend a lot of time. I mean, when you look at the sound bars and GarageBand, there's just a bajillion cuts.
Yes. All the editing, so much editing. But it is wonderful, and you guys have to check out The Birth Hour if you haven't already. And I'll say, you know, as two podcasters, and I was just being interviewed by Bren on her show again, and for your Patreon show, because she's got a whole nother show she's launching. She's amazing. So you have to check out her Patreon as well. These reviews that you guys give, it really means a lot to us. So check out her show and leave those reviews and my show too, because like she just said, 4 to 6 hours for a 45 minutes, an hour long show. And I'm doing it too. And it's so much, but we do this, and she's been doing it for so many years. And I've been doing it for almost 2 now because there's passion behind it, because we want these stories to be told in these interviews. And Bryn, what do you think it is about the power behind sharing birth stories that is so important but is almost lost in our current culture?
Well, I think that we see, you know, the Hollywood version of birth growing up and, you know, still today in media, and that's what's ingrained in our brains from a very early age. And even just hearing our mothers and aunts and whatnot recall their births, a lot of this really just sticks with us. And so you may not know that it can be a different way from what you've seen or heard before until you hear other women who have gone before you. And with the Birth Hour podcast, we want to cover all types of birth. And I get a lot of messages actually from people who listen, and they say, you know, I knew I wanted to have a birth center birth, and so I only listened to those episodes, and then I transferred and had a C-section, and now I'm going back and listening to all those, but I really wish I had just listened to them all so that I would have known what to expect. And that's the advice that a lot of people give on my podcast that have been in that situation. And that makes sense to me. Like, you want to be prepared for all the different eventualities, especially if you're planning like an out-of-hospital birth, because then you haven't had any, you know, appointments or maybe toured the hospital. Maybe you never set foot in a hospital and you transfer and you just don't know what's the norm and what's not, you know?
I love that. And I feel, and I'm sure you feel this way, that every birth story matters and every birth story should be told. I think sometimes people are afraid to share their story because maybe it isn't the fluffy, beautiful story that Hollywood tells us it's going to be, or our sister's cousin best friend had, you know, but that's okay. Like, it is your story and it's so important. And sometimes telling our birth stories can also be extremely healing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I find that it's a common topic that comes up when I'm, you know, at a party and people find out what I do. And then I'm, you know, automatically hearing their birth story. And it doesn't matter if it's someone who's 56 or someone who just had their baby, they remember in great detail often their births, and they want, you know, to tell it to someone who will listen. So I think that we all have that in us, whether it was a positive experience or not.
Yeah, it is ingrained on us in a whole nother level. Through recording over 400 birth stories now, what are some commonalities that you see that cross over hospital birth, home birth, you know, vaginal birth, cesarean birth? What are some of those storylines that are always interweaved?
I think the thing that comes up a lot is just how the person was made to feel during their birth. So whether there was trust with their care provider, whether they felt like they had, you know, a say in what was going on and decision-making abilities, and how they, those first few minutes with their baby went, whether they felt like they were the one, you know, making those decisions. And often the postpartum part of the birth story comes up quite a bit as well, because I think that that's huge for people too, that golden hour with your baby, whether you got that, you know, skin to skin, or maybe baby had to go to the NICU. It's always something that's very much a forefront of people's mind, and it makes sense biologically that it would be. But yeah, that comes up a lot as well.
Yeah. And that first part, I mean, it really goes back to all that I talk about. And I know Bryn does too. And she has a childbirth class as well that she offers online around selecting the right care provider for you and the right facility or home or wherever you're going to give birth, the right place for you to give birth to you, because those decisions that we make early on, or maybe you fire your care provider and switch midway through, but those decisions can dramatically impact the outcomes of our birth. And that's why I spend so much time and a broken record about connecting with a size-friendly care provider and why that is so, so important.
Yeah, to me, that's everything. It's just knowing what type of birth you want and then finding the provider that aligns with that, not the one that will, you know, tolerate it or say, we'll see how it goes. You want someone who's excited about it with you and is on that, you know, same path.
Yeah, yeah. So, so important. So where do you think people should start, or how should they start when it comes to telling their own birth stories? I mean, obviously the birth hour is amazing, but you've got like a massive wait list to come on to your show and record. But for people to even just, where do they start with telling their own stories beyond those few rare occasions where we're with two parents and we start chatting? Where do you think they can start with just telling their own story?
I think that writing it down is really helpful, especially in the first couple of days after giving birth, when you can hopefully still remember some of the details. For a lot of people, though, it is kind of a blur and you might not remember the details. And another thing you can do is ask your care provider for your chart or your notes. Midwives will often have very detailed notes. Doulas often take notes, and you can kind of compile all of that and try to make sense of it. Telling your story to your doula is also a great idea, because they were there and they can just listen. And then if they, you know, feel the need to say, oh, actually, this is something I noticed, that could be helpful too. You want to be careful though, because sometimes birth story listening is a little bit of an art form. I actually took a class with Pam England from Birthing Within, From Within, about birth story listening. And she's offers, you know, birth story listening online and helps people process their birth that way. But she also teaches other people how to do it. And a big thing that she talks about is really, you shouldn't be offering a whole lot of feedback. You really just want to listen. And even little things like, you know, handing someone tissues if they start to cry, like that's almost a way of saying, here, wipe away your tears, it's fine, you know, rather than just letting them have the feelings that they have. And so that's a huge part of the birth hour for me, is I really don't talk a lot. It's really I often suggest that people write their story down ahead of time and then look at their notes while they're telling it. And then I have, you know, a few questions here and there, but I don't try to offer a lot of feedback or my thoughts on things because it's not really my place. It's just a place for people to tell their experience and how it was from their point of view.
I love that because I often hear other people's stories or, you know, we're on Facebook and Facebook groups and people are sharing things. And I'm always very careful not to interject my own opinions because someone might share their birth story and a listener would be like, oh my God, that sounds horrific. But that person doesn't view their birth as horrific at all. Like it meant a lot to them. And we don't ever want to interject our own perspective of someone else's birth onto them because it is so ingrained in them and it can change the way they view it. And I'm just going to, I'll call myself out here. My mom, my whole life, I was raised with her telling me that she had a natural childbirth with me. And that kind of imprinted with me wanting to have my own unmedicated birth. And then I became certified as a childbirth educator. And through my reading and education, you know, my mom, I was 40 plus weeks when she was pregnant with me and she had toxemia, which is preeclampsia, and they didn't induce and she was home. But finally they were like, maybe it was like almost, I think it was almost 42 weeks. I'll put my birth story. My mom has written it out for the blog. I'll put it in the show notes. But I was well beyond anything that they would ever allow to happen in this day and era. But they induced me with Pitocin as they should have at that point. And I told my mom, oh, mom, you didn't have a natural childbirth because you were induced. And I would have never said that to her that way now. This is when I was like going through all my training. And it really like it hurt her heart because, I mean, and now I when I talk to my mom about it, because she'll sometimes bring it up, but you'd be like, but mom, like you are amazing. You were induced with Pitocin, but you refused any pain medication. And back in those days in 1979, like you had to stay in bed the entire time. Like, mom, you're my hero. Like, I couldn't have done that. You're amazing. And I believe that. But I wish I never would have said those words of you didn't have that birth that you always felt in your heart that you did. And you did. Like, I feel badly about that. And sorry, mom, and I've apologized to her and we've talked it through. But that to me was a very big learning lesson of don't ever interject. Like, you don't have to be right. And I feel like on social media, often people correct people or, you know, if you say natural birth, you should say medicated. And like, it's just like people have their own stories and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't always have to be right. Allow people to own their own stories. And you might make mistakes, like clearly I have, and I've apologized for it, and I'm sure I'll make more mistakes. But I love what Bryn is saying is when someone else is sharing their story with you, listen. Listen to the story being told and hold space for that story. That's really, really powerful and an important takeaway. Thank you for sharing that so much.
Yeah.
And sorry, Mom. So you said people should write down their story and write it down as quickly as they can. What about for someone who didn't want to process their story, but now they want to, and it's been a long time? It's never too late, right?
No, of course not. And actually, I was going to add to that too, that often it's great to get some details down within the first few days, but it's interesting how our perspective changes when we have time to process. There's actually some information out there about hospital surveys, because they'll survey you like while you're still at the hospital after giving birth, and often you're still on a birth high and you're like five stars all around, you know, and then you get home and you start to think about things. You're like, wait, why was I asked to do that? Or why didn't this happen? Mm. And you might have answered some questions differently and provided different feedback. So it's actually good, I think, to have different stages of processing and then write it down when you're ready. And you may not have as many details, but again, you can ask your care provider for your chart and get some details that way. We've had a lot of discussion about that in our Facebook group recently. People who have just not been able to get past certain things that happen in their birth, and actually making an appointment with their OB and going in and asking about certain things and why they happen this way. And one person shared their response and it was kind of amazing. Like, oh, that makes so much sense. I don't know why we do it that way. And they're going to make some changes now regarding, wow. I believe it was regarding some newborn care right afterwards. So it, you could be helping, you know, people in the future as well by doing that, even though I know it can be nerve-wracking.
Yeah. And I want to mention for people as size listening, know that there might be some notes in your chart that might make you feel not so great. Like, I remember when I got my chart back, it said obese, which I was expecting to see, but then it said low risk, like the low risk was checked. And I was like, yes, like, yeah. You can be obese and low risk and it's in black and white. But then when I got my son's chart, and I'm not sure if I've shared this before, I think I might have, like, it said that my son, after he was born, was with us, and within a day he was in the NICU. He was just born a little early. Nowadays they've changed the terminology of late term, preterm, and so he wouldn't have been taken away from me now, but 10 years ago, which in medical world is a lifetime ago, so much changes, he was taken away from me. And it said in his notes, as he was seen by other pediatricians, that my son had complications due to maternal obesity. Mm. And what my son was going through had absolutely nothing to do with me. It noted that I had a high-risk pregnancy due to maternal obesity and that my son was sick because of it. Like, I didn't have gestational diabetes. I didn't have preeclampsia. I had a completely healthy pregnancy. But what happened is this pediatrician took one look at me and made this assumption about, you know, that because of my size, I had done this to my son. And that was devastating. And that took me a while to work through and process through. So I just want to prepare you that there might be some notes in your chart that aren't accurate, you know, and that might make you feel a different way. So hopefully that won't happen. Mm-hmm. But as we know, there are a lot of biases out there, and it's just something to be aware of. Because that was not fun to read. Yeah, so that's just something. I love the idea of asking other people in the room to share your birth story as well. I've had enjoyable time, you know, hearing my husband tell his perspective mm-hmm. of our birth, which is definitely a little different than mine. So again, you have to walk that line of not letting it take away from how you perceive it, but it also can be really beautiful. My mother was there, and me hearing her share my story as well has been a beautiful thing to do. So I think that's great to collect different perspectives and then pull together your own story and your own narrative and to write it down. And you don't have to share it with anyone, or you can start your own blog. I mean, that's what I did 9 years ago, and it changed my whole life. So you never know how telling your story, how many people it can really impact. Mm-hmm. What have been some of the responses, Bryn, that you've gotten from your show and the impact that it's made of all of this collection of all different types of birth stories?
Yeah, it's really been amazing. I get messages almost every single day from someone who's been impacted by hearing these people's stories. And it's just, it blows my mind. I mean, often it's, you know, I wouldn't have thought that I could do this or have this type of birth. And hearing these stories empowered me to switch providers or to make a different decision than I would have, that type of thing. But also people who have, like, literally saved their life by hearing about postpartum preeclampsia. And, like, I would have never gone in with these swollen legs if I hadn't heard the story. Or we have had a few people share their stories with cholestasis, which presents as an itching of the hands, but it's often not that strong. And so you might just overlook it. And ever since I actually had Michael Phelps's wife, Nicole, on. She's had 3 pregnancies with cholestasis, and it affects the liver, and they're the only way to diagnose it is with a blood test that takes a few days to get back. And then the treatment is to deliver early, and it doesn't usually show up until 37 weeks. So if you catch it, everything is fine. If you don't, it can lead to stillbirth and really devastating outcomes. And I've had many, not many, but you know, I'm on two hands now counting. And those are people that have just taken the time to message me, say that they went in because they heard those stories. So, I mean, that kind of thing kind of stops you in your tracks. And I realize the greater impact of the podcast in that sense.
Wow, I got full chills. I'll put that episode in the show notes so people can listen to it. I think that that's so powerful, and I'm so thankful you've put this resource out into the world. And I love that you've gone out of your way to really share all different types of birth stories of people of all, you know, sizes and backgrounds and abilities and colors. And you know, it's so important. I think when we think of birth stories, it becomes very like, oh, either home birth or hospital birth. And it's so much, it's so much more intricate than that. And that a high risk birth story can still be an absolutely beautiful story. And an unmedicated story can have trauma attached to it. Mm-hmm. And there's no black and white with birth. There's a whole rainbow of colors and stories, and all of these stories absolutely, absolutely matter. I'm just popping in to say that I've been where you might be today. Plus size, pregnant, and discouraged by all the negative information online about what it is like to have a plus size pregnancy. Over the past 7 years, as a certified childbirth educator, I've supported thousands of plus size people during pregnancy, and I've poured all the information I've gained into a guide that will support you. Get the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide today at plussizebirth.com. Be sure to enter coupon code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off your guide. You can also get the audiobook version that I recorded just for you. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Now, let's get back to the show. So with telling our birth stories and the importance of it, I was also thinking back when we were talking about advice for telling your story. I think also if music was played during your birth, to play that music when you're writing down your story. I remember I did that and it made me sob uncontrollably. And it was also a really fun way to process through my birth. Sometimes when I'm wanting to be sentimental, I will listen to those songs that were played, and Hallelujah was played as I was pushing my son. And so whenever it comes on, it always like stops me on my tracks. And even my husband will comment and tell our son, like, be nice to your mother. Like, this song means a lot to her. And like, I think that the power of music and birth is so, so profound as well.
Yeah, that made me think of another thing, and that's birth photography. I think that is an amazing investment. Yes. If you can swing it, or if you have a friend that can at least be there to take pictures for you, or a lot of doulas will take pictures for you. And even if you just set up your phone on video, I don't know if every hospital would allow that, but it took me 3 babies to finally get video of my birth. And I'm so grateful for it, because you really do go into labor land. And I just remember bugging my husband and being like, well, what was it like? What was it exactly like? You know, like wanting all the details that he just couldn't give. And video has given me a chance to go back and process a couple things about my most recent birth too.
Oh, I love that. That's such good wisdom. And we're going to have some of Bryn's and my mutual friends on the show, Birth Becomes Her, Jennifer and Monet, talk about birth photography soon. But I will share, and I'll probably talk about it on that episode too. Like, my mom snapped a bunch of photos, and I gave birth on my knees. So let's just say there are a whole lot of big butt Jen photos, like massive Jen's butt and a little baby coming out. So I didn't like those photos at first, because I was still on my journey to loving myself and loving my body. And some of those photos were just like, oh my gosh, and my husband's head is where and what is happening? Because I'm on my knees and he's catching this baby. But I will say now, and I haven't looked at those photos in a while, but the photos of me laboring with the sheet over my bottom have been shared all over the internet and have helped to change how people view people of size giving birth too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so incredibly thankful that I didn't just delete those photos and that I kept them and I've shared them because birth photography can be really powerful and they don't need to be shared all over the internet. But especially for people of size, there aren't as many photos of people who exist in larger bodies. Now, thankfully, there's a lot more maternity photos out there. But when I was pregnant, I spent hours on Google Images searching for images of people plus size and pregnant with their faces showing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I found hardly any birth that weren't like medicalized birth photos. So if you are willing to share those photos and those stories, I'm here as a wonderful resource to help put them out into the world, because we need to show that birth isn't just one size and one color. It is so much more. And so I highly, highly encourage, like Brenna said, to do birth photos, whether you can afford a professional photographer that is worth every penny, or you can, you know, hand your mom the camera and really try not to delete. You don't have to share them with anyone, but keep those photos because they are important. And at one point or another, your kids might want to see them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know for me too, my body image has been just so affected for the positive since having kids. And yes, I probably would have deleted a lot of those photos, you know, but yeah. I'm glad I didn't. And I can look at my, you know, four chins while I'm pushing in this crazy position and just be like, yeah, that's badass, you know? And my squishy belly with baby number three doesn't bother me the way it did with my first. And I had crazy stretch marks and all of that. And I just remember being like really kind of obsessive about that kind of thing. And then like growing into motherhood and my body and accepting things and now just loving it, which is a long way to come, which I'm sure you guys talk about on this podcast quite a bit.
Yes. I think it's so important that we remember that body image struggles happen to people, you know, in a smaller body like Brynn and a larger body like mine. And we're all fighting against these societal standards, especially after giving birth, of like getting our body back. Well, Brynn's has had three babies. Like there's no going back to what Brynn's body. Yeah. And your body is amazing. And you've grown and birthed three children, and I've grown and birthed one. And like, you know, our bodies are changed and transformed forever. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think we need to normalize that a lot more. And I love that you also talk about postpartum on your show, because it's just such a part of our birth story, is that that after time fog where we have to somehow care for this tiny little human being and love them with all of our hearts and also feed ourselves so we can produce milk if we're breastfeeding. And like, there's so much that goes into it, and somehow we all get through it and we can normalize the struggles of mental health, and that it's not something to be ashamed of if you are struggling and you need to get help. It all goes back to our birth story, and it's important. It's important that we document it and that we write it down. And if we're comfortable, then we share it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, birth. What do you see as the future for the Birth Hour? I mean, you have 400 stories. Do you want to have 4,000?
I don't have any plans of stopping. An exciting thing that we're doing now is we're growing our Patreon group, which is a platform for people to support creators financially. Yes. And so we're creating a lot of bonus content for those supporters. And our goal right now, we have 500 patrons.
Nice.
And our goal is to hit 1,000. And then we're going to launch a podcast where my husband does the interviewing and does the partner perspective. So he'll have to have your husband on if he's interested.
That would be amazing.
But I get that request a lot. And we haven't had the bandwidth. But I'm like, okay, if we can do this Patreon thing, I think we can make it happen. So I'm really excited for that when we get there. Speak positive.
You will absolutely get there. And I love that you've launched that Patreon and that you're getting support from your listeners, because it's a scary thing to do to ask for help in that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is your full-time job. This is how beautiful that you loved reading birth stories, then wanted to start a podcast, and now And now you get to do this work and it's your career, but you should be compensated for all the countless hours and work that goes into putting it out into the world. So I absolutely love that Patreon has been one of the ways that you've been able to do that. And then you also have different, tell us a little bit about the perks that people get for supporting the Birth Hour with Patreon beyond what will happen soon.
Right. So we've had the group actually for a few years, but it was more just like a tip jar. And then we had a private Facebook community. And then I would do some bonus content here and there when I had time. I did these audio journal entries when I was trying to conceive and during my pregnancy, which people are going back and listening to now. And I'm like, oh gosh, I wonder what I said. It was a while
ago. That's so intimate, Brynn. I love it, but that's so intimate.
I know. I'll probably never go back and listen. And that was when the group was a lot smaller. So we'll see how shy I get. But yeah, it was really just like a place for super fans to connect in this Facebook group. And now I really want to focus on regular content. So every month I'm doing an expert interview, and Jen was so gracious to come on as one of our first ones. And so that'll be coming out soon.
Oh, my honor.
And then we're also doing these Ask Me Anything interviews. Some are just with me, some are with me and Richard about, you know, all things really, ask us anything. And those have been fun. And then we also made a switch this year. We have, like I mentioned, over 400 birth stories. And so now the most recent 100 are always available to the public in whatever podcast app you listen in, but the archives are exclusive to our listener supporters. So that's another perk that people get right away. You can just get all 300 and whatever into your podcast app and go on a binge.
So does this mean that people can't listen to mine then?
They might have to become a patron. Yeah,
because mine was 80 something.
You were 86.
86. Yeah. Oh, it's so good, you guys. Yeah, that's worth the $5 a month or whatever level you go in on. Because, yeah, I love that interview that I gave for you. Again, it's like one of my favorites.
We've replayed it at least once because people love it so much. So there's probably a more recent version of it out there as well.
Oh, I feel special. Yeah, no, it was so good. I mean, to be able to like pour your heart into telling your story to someone else, it's your birth story.
You're so well spoken. I just remember listening to you and just being like, oh God, I can't stop crying. You spoke so eloquently.
Thank you. Well, I knew that I was putting my birth story out on, you have a massive platform, and I appreciate the opportunities when people want me to come on and share my experience, because that's why I started blogging, just to normalize what it is to exist in a larger body and be pregnant and give birth and have postpartum. Like, it just, I couldn't find stories like mine, you know, just 9 years ago. And now it's so much more common, and I'm so incredibly thankful for that and for spaces like yours for really wanting to make sure. I mean, even Brynn, tell them what you did with your logo. I love what you did with the logo for the Birth Hour. Sorry, I'm totally like,
okay, so
tell us something.
When I first launched the podcast, I created my own logo in, I don't know, Canva or something. And I used a pregnant silhouette. It might have been PicMonkey, actually. So once I decided to kind of really build out a website and rebrand, and I sought someone's help for that, and we had a graphic designer working on the logo, and she sent me a bunch of different iterations, and they were just like, so I wanted to keep the silhouette aspect, and all the ones she sent me, it was just this like very obviously like skinny white girl is what everyone described her as when I would ask people for their input. And it was the thought I had as well. And so I was like, hey, can you like make her look more normal sized? And can you maybe like change that like weird messy bun thing? Like, that's not what most people do. And it was just, I kept getting all these little critiques. And then finally I was like, you know what? I have a silhouette picture I took of myself when I was pregnant on the beach. And so I sent her that. And I'm a very like average size person, like, you know, size 10 or 12, which is not skinny by any means, but I think more like what you might see day to day.
Yeah.
Versus this like this skinny little stick figure with a basketball, which there are people who carry pregnancy that way for sure.
Yeah, and we're not shaming those people, but that's all that we see on all the logos is the very thin, well put together, just one size, which isn't a real depiction of the everyone who gets pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, if it's me, it's my podcast, so nobody can say anything about that either. And then I also had her add a little Audi belly button because you couldn't quite see that in the picture, but I did have one. So I wanted that on there too. Yeah, I love it.
I love your logo so much. And I think I was paying you a compliment on your logo and then you told that story or something. Like, I remember we've talked about it before and it's always stuck with me that it's you. And yeah. I love it and it's so beautiful. And yeah, we need to represent. Like, when I go and do public speaking to birth professionals, I pull a handful of covers of the pregnancy magazine and they're all thin, white, Caucasian women. And so, because I like to add levity and humor to, you know, talks that can be intense that I give. And so I'll pull up this picture and then I say, did you know that only thin Caucasian women get pregnant? And then everyone laughs. And then we unpack it and talk about how this is not reality, right, but this is what so society smart. Shows us. And why it's wrong. And so, yeah. And I just love that your logo is you, an average sized person, you know, who is pregnant. So it's wonderful. It's lovely.
Thank you.
And then you are also an author of multiple books. Tell us everything.
Yeah. So that was a crazy experience in the first year of my baby's life to do, but with a lot of help from my husband and a great team and my publisher, I came out with my first book in October of 2019. It's called The First Time Mom's Pregnancy Handbook, a week-by-week guide from conception through baby's first 3 months. So it's pretty self-explanatory, but you definitely don't have to be a first-time mom to read it. But it is a week-by-week guide, and it's a very broad overview of kind of what to expect without being like an over information giver, like other what to expect books that might be out there that are really thick. This one is not super long. It's a quick read and it has a lot of my favorite little tips in there that you might not see on your average, you know, app or website, especially around postpartum. I'm really proud of that section, but it was meant to be a shorter book. And so it is limited in word count. And there's like a lot of other things I could have covered that I didn't. And so the second book that came out is longer. It's about twice the length and it's called The Essential Pregnancy Q&A, Expert Answers and Advice for Every Stage of Your Pregnancy and Postpartum Journey. And that was a collaborative effort. I'm the lead author, but I had the privilege of being able to reach out to a doctor, a midwife, and a maternal mental health expert and have them come in and answer really the majority of the questions. So it's formatted like an FAQ, just each chapter is topic-based, whether it's common illnesses or postpartum, it's a topic-based chapter. And then there'll just be a bunch of questions that are the most commonly asked questions and then answered in pretty good detail by these experts. And then I cover more of the lifestyle topics like preparing for baby and career, maternity leave, that type of thing. So that one is your more in-depth and it's nice because it's more of a read as needed book where you can go to the table of contents and find the question you may have and then go get it answered, but maybe skip over the stuff that's going to stress you out.
Well, it's so, so good. And I'm honored in that first book that you mentioned my work as well. It's so wonderful in this work when you connect with women doing birth work and that we support and uplift one another. And that meant a lot to me. I was surprised. I didn't know it was in there. So thank you very much.
Oh, of course.
I will put links to both of the books in the show notes. I know the first one's Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and I'm sure the second one will be everywhere as well.
Thank you so much.
So exciting. Well, Bryn, I always love any opportunity you and I have to connect, and I am just a huge obvious fan of the Birth Hour and of you. Where can people find you? And obviously the Birth Hour podcast, find it on every app available. But if they want to dig in more and follow you on social and to read more of the content you put out into the world, let us know where.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much everywhere just as the Birth Hour. So Instagram's my biggest platform where I'm sharing, you know, I always share a post when a new birth story comes out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then we have a lot of great content over at thebirthhour.com. And that's where you can also find our online childbirth course, which is really great. It takes you from the final weeks of pregnancy all the way through obviously preparing for birth and going through birth. And we're really proud of it because it covers all different types of births. Like, we don't think of cesarean is an afterthought. It's actually the second module is a planned cesarean. And then, of course, we talk about unplanned cesareans later on. But we really wanted to cover all the different ways that birth can go and the choices that people might make. And it's all evidence-based. So I'm really proud of that. And then there's also a back-to-work breastfeeding course as well that goes into, you know, pumping and storing milk and all those questions that you have when you're, you know, still sleep deprived and now having to be expected to also go to your second job of heading back to work. So those two courses are on thebirthhour.com as well.
Wonderful. And I'm going to give your Patreon another shout out because you have one of the only mom Facebook groups that I recommend, because yeah, I'm notorious that I shut down a mom Facebook group. And I think there's still people that hate me because of that. But mom Facebook groups are very, very toxic. And I know from personal experience of having a ton of admin and trying to keep it non-toxic. And it just, it's very, very hard to create a truly safe space online on Facebook. And I often don't recommend mom Facebook groups, but yours is the only one that I say if you are looking for that safe and supportive community. I've spent time in your group and I recommend it. So I'm gonna give you that shout out there because it is not an easy thing to do and you've created somehow magic. So thank you for for creating that space as well. So people can find all that information to join her Patreon also on thebirthhour.com. And I'll put everything in the show notes and your amazing logo. And yeah, we connected back in 2016. And I have enjoyed having you in my life, in real life, ever since. So I adore you. And I thank you for all of your time, wisdom, and for helping to change the culture of birth. So you are an incredible human. Thank you, Bryn.
Oh, I love you so much, Jen. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, friends, write your birth stories if you haven't already. Tell those birth stories. Get on Bryn's 10-year-long wait list. No, it's probably not that long, but she's very popular. But if you want to share it on the Birth Hour, fill out her form, get on her wait list. And then I also, you know, share birth stories over on plussizebirth.com. It's very important to me that stories and images of plus-size people pregnant and giving birth are on the internet, because they sure weren't there, hardly any, when I was pregnant and feeling very alone and isolated. So if you would like to submit your birth story for plussizebirth.com, please send me an email, jen@plusmommy or jen@plussizebirth. You can find me either way. And then also, of course, for the podcast as well, Plus Mommy. So, all right. Well, thank you so much. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.